Again, 1 Peter chapter 5. And we went over some verses here earlier today in the other two messages that we preached on this. And just want to just do a little bit of a review here before we get into it. It's fresh in your minds, I assume, from just about an hour ago or an hour and a half ago. Bible's very clear, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Who resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Father, we pray you'd bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible is very clear here that as we've went over, you're to be sober, you're to be vigilant, you're to be awake, you're to be alive, you're to be not to be drunk. Your mind's not to be intoxicated with the cares of this life, to be carried away. Your mind is not to be... Listen, you can do that with worrying too, by the way. You can worry and worry and worry and worry and worry. Thank you. You can worry and do all of those things. And then what's going to happen to you when you do that is you're going to be intoxicated by the cares of this life. In that sense, instead of being mindful of who your enemy really is. And that's Satan. That's the devil. And sometimes you think the enemy is somebody that's challenging you, but you have to understand the spirit behind that enemy. It's like a lot of people that don't understand the liberty movement. They think they're going to be able to, with the Constitution, they're going to be able to take America back and with the spirit of 1776, they call it. Well, listen, that isn't going to take America back. The only thing we're going to do for America, the only thing that will be positive for America is if they return to some biblical principles, if there's some repentance. Now, what follows that? Then there'll be an adherence to the law and to the respect for the law and the founding documents. But until we get our hearts right with God, until those people understand that you must be born again and you must live a life for Christ, you'll never see anything. You'll never see a change happen in this country. And I think that's where we're heading right now. That some people are awakening to this, others are sleeping and don't want to wake out of their sleep. They're hypnotized. Anyway, so we're to be sober-minded, we're not to be drunk with the cares of this life, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, the Bible gives us very clear instructions of how to defeat this lion, this devil. God not only shows you what the problem is, He not only tells you that you need to cast all your care upon Him, He tells you that you need to be sober, you need to be serious, you need to be vigilant, you need to be awake, but He also tells you how to defeat this devil. He says that as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. To resist him steadfast in the faith. Faith. These are clear instructions from the God of heaven on how to handle that roaring lion, the devil. We better take heed to these instructions. He says for us to resist him. Turn your Bibles to James chapter 4. The same message in there. I don't know if some of you were here, if you remember the sermon series I preached called The Wars of James chapter 4. You remember those? All of those wars, from whence come wars and fightings among you? And we talked about the war in the flesh, the war of the lust, the war of all these other, the war in your members. You remember that? We talked about and discussed those wars that were there. I think there was like 10, 12 sermons there and about 5 or 6 verses there that we went over. But in James chapter 4 and verse number 7, he says the same thing the Lord does. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist, submit yourselves to God. So what is he saying? He's saying cast all your care upon him. The same thing that Peter is saying. And then he says resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If there's anything you must understand is, when facing God, the devil is not that brave. When he is facing God, when he is facing our flesh, he will destroy us in the flesh. But when he has to be faced with the Word of God, he will flee from you. He doesn't like the Word of God. Why? Because it's the only thing more powerful than him. so he doesn't like it. He hates the word of God. So the Lord says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. These are the instructions that Peter gave us, the same ones. He said, whom resist, steadfast in the faith. You and I are to resist the devil, being steadfast in the faith. We're to resist him. Just like when someone is charged with resisting arrest, what are they doing? They're not going willingly, they're fighting. Right? Well, I mean, they say that sometimes. Actually, they like to charge people with resistance of arrest, even if they're not resisting. But anyway, don't resist, and they start pounding you down on the ground. But anyway, that's another story. It's very true. You could see it on video all the time. But anyway, that resisting, resist him. You're fighting him. You're not giving in to temptation, wickedness. You're not giving in to the devil, but you're fighting him. You're resisting him. What does that mean, that word resist? Literally to stand against, to withstand, hence to act in opposition or to oppose. A dam or a mound resist a current of water passively by standing unmoved and interrupting its progress. An army resists the progress of an enemy actively by encountering and defeating it. We resist measures by argument or remonstrance. We resist it. We fight it. Folks, it's not enough for you to be against, to say, I don't agree with this evil. You got to fight it. You have to understand that. It's not enough for us to say, well, we don't watch television. You've got to war against that. You've got to take a stand against those things. And you've got to say, listen, I agree with this because it's wrong. And I'm going to stand. Why? Because I have to resist it. As one of the founding fathers said, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Amen. That resistance to tyranny. Romans 13 says the same thing pretty much. We're not to give in to evil. We're not to run with the multitude to do evil. We're not to go along with that. Here is the problem, though. No one wants to war with the devil. No one wants to war against him. No one wants to war against him with the proper weapons of warfare. They believe we're in a Christian cakewalk. That's what people live their lives as today, that they're in some kind of a Christian cakewalk and that they're not in a war, that they're not fighting and battling a war against the devil, that he's a roaring lion and you have to war against his kingdom. You have to. It's not enough for you just to be saved and go sit on a shelf somewhere and do nothing for God. That's not enough. It's not enough for you to have eternal life and then not do anything with it. That's not enough, and it's not acceptable, and you will fall for the devil's tricks when you do that. It's not enough. We have to war against the devil. Don't you get it? The day you got saved, you enlisted in an army. Don't you see your weapons are given to you in Ephesians chapter 6, and he tells you this is your armor? Now arm up and get out there and fight the devil and his kingdom. But people don't want that. Now I'm going to tell you, many of those people aren't saved in the first place. They make a profession, but they're not saved. They don't care about God. They don't care about fighting the devil. If you are not fighting the devil, then you are giving in to him. If you are not warring against him, his kingdom, and being vocal about it, why is it that God's people go in the closets while all the queers come out? What is up with that anyway? What is up with that where God's people will all go to sleep and all the homosexuals are coming out and they're parading down the streets and God's people won't get out and do anything for him? They hide it. They act like they don't even know Christ. I don't want anybody to know. Why? Why? Are we afraid what people are going to think about us? How about what they think about your God? It's not enough that we don't partake in evil. We need to resist it actively. We need to fight it every day. We need to stand up and be vocal against it. No, not everybody's going to be a preacher. You don't have to be. My point is that you need to stand up, though, and be vocal about it and war against the devil. Resist him. Resist his kingdom. Stand up against it. Because he's always lurking about. He's always walking about seeking whom he may devour. If you resist him and fight him, he'll flee from you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. By not yielding to his temptations, by employing your spiritual armor against him. Though invulnerable, he is not unconquerable. The weakest follower of God can confound and overpower him if he continues steadfast in the faith, believing on the Son of God and walking upright before him. To a soul thus engaged, he can do no damage. Do you understand that? Do you understand that he doesn't do anything to those who put their armor on, who fight him with the sword, and when he comes? He's a coward. He runs. Now, he's not a coward if you stand and try to fight the devil in the flesh. If you try to fight him in the flesh, he won't. But I guarantee you, just like everybody else, when you start bringing out that word of God and bring it out, it's like all these people that don't like the sermons that are preached and don't like this type of preaching that comes, they you bring the word of God out and it'll shut their mouths and they won't have anything to say. Now, they'll accuse you of being in a cult. Oh, you must be in some kind of a cult. I had somebody accuse me of that yesterday, actually, in so many words. Because I don't believe everything that the government tells me. So I must be a Jim Jones cult type guy or something because I don't believe everything the government tells me. Because I tell the truth, the CIA runs drugs. So, oh, you must be, what if you drank the Kool-Aid? No, I haven't, you have. Because I'll show you documents if you want to see them. They don't deny it, they show you right there. Look, we did this. See, we did this. But you won't look at it because you don't care because you're a zombie. Amen. I'm just telling you, folks, it's true. They don't deny it. They don't deny it. You deny it for them, but they don't deny it. They know there's enough people out there that'll deny it. So they don't, and they know that you're not even informed. They know that most people have to work every day, so they can't keep track of what the crooked government's doing all the time. You have to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When you're fighting, he won't stick around. When you take the word of God and you bring it out, he won't stick around. Have you ever noticed how most people that get mad at you, but when you and you start reading and taking the Bible, and you say, "Well, go ahead and show me in here then where it's right." I don't want to hear your human reasoning. I don't want to hear anything else. I'll tell you what. You defend Hollywood with this. Take the Bible and defend Hollywood with this. You do that, okay? Don't give me any of your conjecture. Don't give me any of your opinions. Show me where you can defend Hollywood with this book. Well, I can't do that. Well, I know. So then either admit that you want to be carnal or repent. It's that easy. See, the reason why people don't like this type of preaching, because you can't sit on the fence with this type of preaching. You either have to make, now not because I force you, I have never once come into any of your homes and said, I want to see your movie cabinet right now. Open them up now. Have I ever wanted to do that? No. Why would I want to? It's none of my business. It's your problem. I got enough of my own problems to deal with. I don't have time to worry about yours like that. I'm the father of my own house. I'm not the father of your house. I already know what's going to happen to you if you don't obey God, just like what will happen to me if I don't obey God. So I'm not the inspector. The Holy Ghost is. See, he's the one that when it pricks your heart and you walk out of here, that's who's doing that, not me. I'm just a messenger. He's the one pricking your heart and saying, what are you doing? Didn't you just hear that? You just heard that message, didn't you? Why are you ignoring it? Are you acting like it's not real, like it didn't happen? You didn't just hear that? What are you going to do with what you just heard? See, that's God's job to do that. My job is just to preach it. It's the Holy Ghost's job to speak to your heart and say, okay, what are you going to do with that now? Amen. That's what the Lord does. That's what the Holy Spirit does. I don't have to do it. I don't want to do it. I know a lot of heavy-handed pastors that do that stuff to people. They'll go in and they'll want to stop by and surprise visit your house to look at your dress code to see how you and your wife are dressed. They want to pop in and see how you're, oh, hey, how you doing? They're there to spy on you. What? They are. I'm just telling you. That's what they do. I know all their little fundy games. But that's what they do. They just pop in to spy on you. Oh, okay. I ain't looking to do that. First of all, it's not my problem. Hey, Ben. Cheers.
resist the devil, fight against him. We must resist him. We must war against him and his kingdom. We need to stop being so timid about our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all too timid, all too afraid to stand up and say something to somebody, all too afraid of our family members. You know what? I love to get into it with them. I love it. I'm waiting. I got a few of them. Woo! I'm waiting to get into it with them. Good. I'm waiting. I can't wait. I'm getting fired up and ready, because once my mouth opens, it's going to be like fire that breathes out, and it's going to burn everything in front of it. It's coming. I'm telling you, honestly, it's coming. I'm tired of the sin and the wickedness. I'm tired of it. And it's coming. Like a dragon, like a chamber of a dragon's mouth that's going to fly straight out. And I'm not going to stop until it's done. You have no idea how wicked people can really be. You could sit in a controlled environment, people that believe God and they follow a certain set of, there are people out there that could care less about God. And they'll mock him and they'll make fun of him and they'll poke fun at that life. But not with words, but with actions. We're all too worried about it. We don't want to resist the devil. We don't want to fight him because somebody else around us is going to get mad. Let me tell you something. That somebody else, I want to be clear here. Everybody on Skype, I want everybody to listen to this, okay? When you stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, mommy and daddy and auntie and uncle and little baby sissy wissy is not going to be holding your hand. You're going to stand before an almighty God and you're going to give an account for what you've done. So it isn't going to matter what mommy or daddy thinks. It isn't going to matter what anybody else thinks about your family. So you better get that straight right now and start living for God today. And stop worrying about what other people think. Because it isn't going to matter when you stand before him. Not at all. Not at all. It isn't going to matter. Guess what? He's going to be talking to you. Not anybody else around you. You. What are you going to do? What did you do with what I gave you? That's right. Even that little boy knows. That may be a sign he's called to preach. Our weapons are not carnal weapons. They're spiritual. The devil is looking for those who are not fighting but are sleeping and are not sober-minded, so he can easily take them over. We've got to resist him. We've got to war against his kingdom. We have to war against Satan. We cannot just accept the wickedness of this world, because that lion is coming to devour us. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you can't stand up to your family now, the older your children get, the more your family grows, they are going to interfere with your life even more. They are going to teach a different philosophy to your children. They are going to teach a different, and it won't be so openly. It'll be how the devil does it, subtly. Subtly. I'm not saying that we have to not talk to anybody or separate. I'm not saying that. What I'm trying to tell you is that people need to know clearly where you stand. They just have to know clearly where you stand and that you're doing it unapologetically. I'm not going to apologize for following God's word. Why? Because it should be on them to be sorry that they're not following it. That's why. Don't you understand why people give you so much aggression and so much when you try to live for God? Because they're not doing it. Don't you get it? They can make fun of you. They can say things about you. Oh, that's not that big of a deal. I know sin's not that big of a deal. I know. It only put Christ on the cross. We shouldn't make such a big deal about sin. I mean, we really shouldn't. I mean, Hollywood smut and movies and wickedness and fornication and magic and everything else, we shouldn't make that big of a deal about it. I mean, come on. It's not that big of a deal, really. No, it's just sin that Christ died for that you're reveling in. But hey, no, it's not that big of a deal. See, you've got to learn to put it back to this book. Just take it back to the book and leave it with them and let them argue with God. Don't make it be an argument with you. Make it be an argument with God. Because that's where the authority lies. Not in you. In him. That's why he says we are to resist them steadfast in the faith. Don't you get it? We resist with the word of God. We resist with the faith of Jesus Christ. That's what we resist with. We take it back to the Bible. Well, can you show me in the Bible where you can justify doing that? Do you think God is pleased by that? Not what I think or what I'm pleased. Do you think the Lord Jesus Christ is pleased with you viewing smut and wickedness? Is he pleased with that? Does he like that? Okay. So the day God apologizes to you is the day I will. Don't think that's going to happen. What is that? It's resisting steadfast in the faith. That's what it's doing. You're going to find out as time goes on, and God is growing this church at his own rate. I'm not doing it. It's the Lord doing it. I'm just being obedient to him. But you're going to find out as you grow and as you get around other Christians and folks, it's not just us. There's people all over the country who want to live for God. I mean, I talk to them every week. Listen, do you know how many times a week I'm getting messages from people on sermon audio? They just send messages. Oh, just want to praise the Lord for the sermon that you're. One lady sent a message yesterday, and she said, "I just want to praise the Lord for you being so forthright, for you just coming out straight and just tell it like it is." Why? Because there's people out there that want that. They want the truth. They just want somebody that says it, that's not ashamed of it. That says, "Hey, this is the way we live. If you don't like it, well, hey, take it up with God." You have people that aren't going to live like that. You just do. I mean, let's be honest. There's going to be Christians that are going to live carnally. Look at Corinth. That's the way it was. They lived carnally. They wouldn't live for God. But we're to resist them steadfast in the faith. We don't resist him by carnal means or earthly means. He will destroy us. He'll destroy us if we try to do that. We can't resist the devil like that. Both in doctrine of faith, which Satan endeavors to remove from or cause to stagger in. He tries to get us to be moved from that. We're to exercise in the promises of God. And God's power and faithfulness concerning them. And the blood, the righteousness, and sacrifice in person of Jesus Christ. You know, you're never going to get to heaven and God's not going to look at you and say, you know, you didn't entertain yourself enough. You didn't watch enough wicked movies. You should have watched a few more of those wicked movies. I'm really disappointed in you because you didn't watch enough television. I really thought you would watch more television while you were there. I thought you would support more wickedness. I thought you would watch sports more. I thought you would spend your days entertaining and amusing. I'm really upset with you for doing that. Do you really believe God's going to do that? No, what does God talk about more than anything? The fact that we waste so much time. Teach us to number our days, that we may incline our hearts into wisdom. That's what God says. I'm telling you, it's just, I've never seen something so amazing in my life as people who will fight the truth like that. It's carnality and wickedness, and they're trying to defend it. There's no defense for it. There's none. We can't defend that. If we do, we find ourselves on the wrong side. Then we're not resisting the devil. We're joining sides with him. Amen. As also in a profession of faith, which as it should be held fast without wavering, and which the devil is very busy to keep persons from making, or to cause them to drop it when they have made it, by violent suggestions, strong temptations, and a flood of reproaches and persecutions, at which should be disregarded. Ephesians 6:16, the Bible tells us, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Don't you see that armor? We go into the armor again, and he leads us back into that. He says, you need the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Why? To quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That lion. We need that shield of faith. We need to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And we need to know this book and know his word and be able to handle. You want to know why you can't explain things to people sometimes? Because you don't know God's word well enough to school them with it.
You've been too busy trying to, you've been too busy not in God, not following God and His Word for so long, saved for probably 20, 30 years and never been in His Word. So you're sitting there arguing with people, trying to reason with them instead of reasoning with the Scriptures, and hey, show me in the Bible where God approves it. Not in there? Okay, well, I guess there's nothing to talk about, is there? Do you see how that leaves it on them and they say, oh man, that's where you want to leave the argument at. We have to take that shield of faith. You need to get grounded in the Word of God and build your faith. Study that sword of the Spirit. Read it. Get it in your heart and life. We can't continue to be sleepy Christians, but must awake out of sleep. We have to be sober, be vigilant, be resistant, and be steadfast in the faith. Those are the instructions. You see that? He says, be sober, be vigilant, be resistant, and be steadfast in the faith. Firm, not fickle. We need to stand firm in the faith. If you're not warring for the faith, you are sleeping and the devil is coming. You got to be at battle. The weakest Christians I know are the ones that are not resisting the devil or his kingdom. I mean, they're so complacent. They're so complacent against sin. They don't want to battle sin. They don't want to talk about the spiritual wickedness in high places. They don't want to deal with the things that go on in our government. They don't want to deal with the sins that go on in our homes, in our lives, our families. We're not supposed to offend them, but they can offend us. Why don't you turn around on them? They're offended at your sin. Why don't you say, well, I'm offended at your sin? Why don't you get offended at their sin? Why don't you say, I'm offended with your carnality? Your sin is wicked and I'm offended by it. It bothers me. It vexes my soul. I don't want to see it. Seems like a pretty good answer, doesn't it? Oh, what will that do? That'll make them think. Oops. How much you want to bet they don't bring that up to you again? Hmm? When you look at them and say, well, I'm offended by your sin. Well, I'm offended by you not liking this and you talking about this or you preaching against Hollywood or something like that. Well, I'm offended at the fact that you love it. I'm offended at the fact that you love your sin. Your sin offends me. It just offends me. I'm offended by the fact that you revel in your sin. And you expect me to revel in it too. I'm offended because you want me to accept sin in my life. When God tells me to cast it out far from me. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. But wise. You got to know how to battle it. That's how you battle it. I don't mean fighting a besetting sin either. I mean warring against the devil and his kingdom, warring against unrighteousness. Why shouldn't we have a vengeance against that which is wrong? Why wouldn't we? Why do people expect Christians not to resist that devil? Why do they expect them not to resist the wickedness? They expect your family not to resist it. Oh, you're supposed to go with the flow. Why? Because everybody's a bunch of fluoridated zombies today, and they go with the flow of everything. I'm sure glad there were some people in the Bible that didn't go with the flow of everything. If you remember what the flow was in Babylon, they wanted to bow down to those images, the great image of the beast. And there was three kids that said, nah, we ain't doing that. Oh, come on, guys, you got to go with the flow. You just got to go with the flow. Now, you don't want to make yourself, I mean, you don't want to look kooky, do you? You're going to look weird if you stand out. Yeah, I like looking weird. It's cool. You're going to look weird if you stand out like that. If you stand up for Christ and your family, you're going to look strange. Yeah. You're supposed to look strange. Remember, you're peculiar.
You're a stranger and a pilgrim here. You're sojourning here as a stranger and a pilgrim. Amen. You're a stranger here. You're supposed to. And you know what? Sometimes that happens with other Christians too. If you resist him, he will flee from you. He will not fight you because he can't fight the sword of the Spirit. He can fight your pride, your money, your stature, and your flesh, but he can't fight God's holy word. Jesus proved that. Jesus was the Son of God, is the Son of God. I mean, he came in the flesh, but Jesus didn't. Did he call down a bunch of angels to just kick the devil out? No. Did he strike the devil with lightning? No. Did he just grab that chain that the devil's going to be chained with and just chain him up and throw him into hell? No, he didn't do that. What did he do? I don't know. Turn to Matthew chapter 4, verse number 3. We'll look at what he did. I know this is a simple answer, and people don't like simple answers. They want complex ones. But this is a simple answer. You can't really miss this one. Even I caught on to it. Watch this. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written." Okay, well, stop right there. Let me ask you a question. What are you supposed to do when the devil, or somebody being led by him, asks you a question like that or says something? Well, why don't you just do this? Why don't you just do that? It is written. That's a good answer, isn't it? Doesn't Peter say that? And be always ready to answer every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What do you answer him with? Not your own understanding, not my own pride, not my understanding, but the Word of God. What happens when you give somebody the Word of God and they have all this religiosity around them, brother, and then they have all of it around them, and then you go, with the Word of God, you go, boop, and it pops, and there's nothing there. And then they say, then they don't want to talk to you about religion anymore. Why is that? Well, because everything they had was fake. It wasn't real. It wasn't real, so they didn't have an answer anymore. They don't have nothing to say to you anymore. He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, "Look at the greater the temptation." He still uses the Word of God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. What do I resist him with? The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And he saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written." There it is again. It is written. It is written again that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That right there will take care of a lot of answers to a lot of questions right there, won't it? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil takes them up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth them all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. This is an even greater temptation. Stronger temptation. And he saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written." What did he do again? "For it is written." You need to memorize that in your mind and your heart. It is written. Not, "Well, I feel this," or "I think this," or "this is what we believe," or "this is what we stand for," but "it is written." What happens when you say that? They don't have anything to say. The Word of God will end most discussions. It just will. It'll end most discussions. But see, here's the problem. Your family knows that this has not been your authority. Your friends know, the people know that this has not been your authority, what you've rested your life on. But they'll learn it real quick that this is the authority that you rest your life on. When you say, it is written. Then they'll know that this is the authority. Why don't you think about movies and entertainment, all that kind of stuff? Yes, you do. It's right there in the Bible. And you just heard a whole sermon on it today to be sober-minded. Now, you may have to teach them what sober-mindedness means because their movies won't tell them that. And the fact that they've been hypnotized to death by entertainment means that they probably won't get it. They probably won't pick up on it. You have to teach them what that means. Amen. But he says it is written again. He says to be sober, to be vigilant, to be resistant, to fight the devil. Folks, you got to get in the fight. You got to start fighting. You got to put that armor on and fight. And the only way you fight is with this book. People will eat you up alive if you don't use the Word of God to stand for everything you stand for. I mean, they just will. It's just like out there on the street. When that lady kept asking me questions, I just went right back to the Bible. Well, because it's obedience to the Lord. It's God. God wants us to do that. God says in His Word to do it. That's why we do it. It wasn't, well, because I feel good. See, she wanted me to say, well, it's something I feel I want to do. Well, I don't do things because of feelings. I don't do things for that reason. I do it because it is written. That's why I do it. Amen. I do it because it is written. That's why. Knowing that you're brothers in Christ. He talks about knowing that others have gone through these things, just like you, just like you're going through. Turn back to 1 Peter. If you would, chapter 5. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I like this quote. And therefore should not be surprised and staggered by them, nor think them strange, but endure them without murmuring and with patience and cheerfulness, since they are the same afflictions and trials which others have been exercised with in all ages, the same which the fraternity of brotherhood, as the word signifies here, who stands in the same relation to God and Christ as they do endure, yea, the same which Christ Himself, who stands in the relation to them, has endured, and which must be expected while they are in this world. We are going to battle. Get over it. Wake up. Grow up. Be a big boy. Gird up your loins and understand you're in a war. It's time to start living like it. Amen. But this is the great mercy that they are only endured in this world. There will be none in the world to come. They will be accomplished and finished here. And every believer has this measure which must be filled up. And so as the whole of Christ, when they are fulfilled, they will be no more. One day that battle will be over. We won't face that battle any longer. But on this side we will face it. Remember this, and no temptation shall take them but that which is common to man. You understand that, don't you? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Trying to give you some instructions of how to fight the devil. I hope you're listening. You take them to heart. Because the more you stand for this word, the more battles you're going to be in. I'm telling you what, I'm hearing from people every day about battles. And going through them myself every day. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. God gives a way out of the temptation. Amen? He gives a way out of it. The Lord will make a way to escape, that they may be able to bear it. And that other sweet promises bring us near to the God of peace shall bruise Satan under his feet. One day he'll bruise that old wicked serpent. One day he'll throw him in the lake of fire for all of eternity. Don't lose sight of these things.
These are the precious promises of God. And while we resist Satan steadfast in the faith, that faith is supported, yea, given by the Lord. And faith in his blood must crown all. The same afflictions leading to the same triumphs are accomplished in our brethren which are in the world. You say, but I'm going through some trials right now. I'm going through the devil fighting me right now. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. I know, sometimes you think, well, wait a minute. I can't believe I'm actually going through a trial. Why? The Bible's very clear here that don't think it's some strange thing that you're going through something right now. Oh, this is strange. I mean, it's only me. Nobody else is going through it. Are you kidding me? People have been going through things their whole Christian life. Christians have always went through battles. They've always fought these battles. It's not new. Don't think it's strange. There are others that have been tried and God has given them the victory. Don't be surprised by the attacks or that the roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Resist him in the faith with the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Get that armor on and know that sword and he will flee from you. Did he stick around Christ when Christ gave him the word of God? No. He just left. He got out of there. Why? We weren't going to get anywhere with you. If you give the devil and his demons the word of God, they'll flee from you. They don't want anything to do with God's word. They do not want his word. Why? Because it destroys them. They know what's coming with it. But the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. When we have resisted and the devil has fought against his kingdom of wickedness, he'll make you perfect, thoroughly furnished. One day you'll be done with this battle on this side. He'll establish you, he'll strengthen his children and settle them. But peace and strength will only come through warring against the devil. Warring against his kingdom. If you're sleeping, though, he will come and devour you. If you're not serious, if you're not sober, if you're not sober-minded, you're drunken with the cares of this life, he will devour you. If you're intoxicated with this world, he will devour you. If you're not resisting the devil, he'll hang around. If you don't resist the devil and the demons and the devilish work around you, if you don't resist it, you will eventually give in to it. That's how it works. You have to resist him, steadfast in the faith. Fight. You've got to take that sword out, the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith, and you've got to battle. You've got to fight. You've got to fight and you've got to battle. You must. If you don't, you'll give in. If you want to battle the wicked works of darkness, you've got to use the sword of the Spirit. If you want to battle the devil, if you want him away from you, if you want his influence away from you, then you've got to battle it with the Word of God. There's no other way to battle it. That's it. No other way. Some of you, I think, have been trying to battle in your own flesh. You've been trying to battle with the flesh. You're not going to get the victory with the flesh. Let me tell you what the devil's going to do to you if you try to battle in the flesh. You ever seen one of those hamsters on a wheel? You seen one of those? They get on that wheel and they just go like this. That's what the devil's going to do to you. You're going to go like this over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. You're never going to get any victory. You're going to have circular reasoning the whole time. And this is what you're going to do the whole time. The whole time in your battle, this is what you're going to do. And it's not going to go anywhere. Why? Because you're playing his game. He's toying with your flesh. He's playing with it. And you're letting him. He gets into your mind because he's the prince of the power of the air. And he gets into your mind and he plays with your mind. And you go around in a circle like this. Oh, I worry about these things. I think I might be in trouble, but I got to do something about it. But I don't know what I'm going to do. I got to do something about it. I think I would. And you go around in a circle like this. And here's what's happening to your brain. There's this little hamster running around your brain right there. And it's rolling around and around. See what my finger's doing? That's what you're doing right there. And that's what you're trying to fight with. You're trying to fight like that. And you're not going to win. Why? Well, because the answer's right here, and you're not using it. You're using your own reasoning. So what are you doing? I'm going to tell you what you're doing. Now, I'm not fortune telling, but sometimes God makes you profit, okay? And here's what you're doing. You're sitting down in your home, and you're trying to reason through some battles that you're having, and you're going like this inside, and you're worrying. And then you try to think, well, maybe I need to do something spiritually about it, but you stay away from the Bible, you stay away from prayer, and you're not having a strong spiritual walk. So what are you doing? You're walking in the flesh, and that lion comes. And he's like, oh, look, somebody to play with. And he plays with you. And he starts to pick away and chip away. And what does he do? He starts to mess with your mind. You start entertaining doubts and fears and jealousies and anger and bitterness and wrath and malice and hate. And all these things. Why? Because you haven't settled it in your heart that it is written. And that's why I'm going to do it. Amen? I promise you, you'll go back, you'll slide backwards on things like movies and entertainment and Hollywood. You'll slide backwards into regret. And the reason you'll do it is because you haven't settled it. The reason you're doing what you're going to do or the stand you're going to take is because it is written. Not because you feel like doing it. Not because you even like it. Because there are some things that your flesh it's not going to like to do. Amen. I mean, your flesh likes a lot of wicked things, doesn't it? Amen? Men, can you be honest and say your flesh likes a lot of wicked things? Things that God forbids? Well, you can lie to somebody, but you ain't gonna lie to me because I'm a man and I understand, okay? So you can go ahead and play that trick on somebody else, but your flesh likes wicked things that God forbids. Loves it! Why? Because it's fallen, that's why. Remember, that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Oh, not me. Okay, well, you'd be the only one on earth that has righteous flesh then. It'd be it, just you. But your flesh loves those things. And that's why we have to walk in the Spirit. And we have to battle in the Spirit. And our weapons are not carnal. But they're spiritual. And in this book is the only thing, and prayer, with all prayer and supplication, and the sword of the Spirit is the only thing that'll see you through these trials. The only way you can resist the devil, by being steadfast in the faith. That's it. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to follow God's word today, if you're going to obey a third of the preaching that you hear, you're going to have some problems with people around you. Amen. You just are. And there's only one way to battle them. Because see, at the end of the day, when it comes back to the Word of God, and that's the sword of the Spirit, is how you resist them steadfast in the faith, here's what happens. Okay? Then you set it up with them, then they're left with arguing with God. And then guess what you can do? Walk away and say, well, they're arguing with God. Amen. And they know that. But guess what? The same thing works for you. When you take it back to the Word of God to resist the devil,
then you have to say to yourself, well, I'm arguing with God. Right? Are there some besetting sins that you don't want to give up because you're arguing with God about them? I don't say that because I want you to give them up. Listen, you don't answer to me for that. You answer to God for that, just like I do. But are there besetting sins that you don't want to give up? Well, then you just have to take it back to the Word of God, and you've got to say, I've got to walk in the Spirit because I'm battling in the flesh, and I don't want to admit that I'm battling God. I'm fighting God. I'm fighting God's Word. I'm trying to find virtue in wickedness. Well, let me help you out, friend. Jump off the little hamster wheel in your mind, look at the Word of God, and know that you will never find virtue in wickedness. You will never find virtue in this world. The only place you'll find virtue is in Christ and following His Word. That's how we resist the devil. And he will flee from you. And a lot of others will flee from you too. Amen? They will. A lot of others will flee from you. They'll be gone. Well, you don't do this anymore? I'm out of here. You don't believe this anymore? I'm out of here. And then you're to rejoice. You're to rejoice. Why? Because you suffer reproach for Christ's sake. And happy are ye, the Bible says. Amen? But no one wants to suffer for Jesus' sake today. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for all you do for us. Help us, Lord, to embrace this in our lives and our hearts. We need it, Lord, more than we realize. Help us to resist the devil. Help us to be strong in the faith. Help us to be sober-minded, to be alert, to watch, to be steadfast in the faith, and to be resistant to the devil. Help it to be our theme in life, that it is written, and to live by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.